We are welcoming back to the show Jim Cameron, who is the author of Talking Transportation. And I got to tell you, Jim, you kind of cracked me up in your most recent article, Who's Running This Railroad? In your second paragraph, where you say, if you've ever wondered who's actually in charge when your train is late, your ticket doesn't scan, and parking enforcement is already writing you up, congratulations, you have stumbled upon the mysteries of Connecticut rail governance. I laughed at this part because I don't know about you, Jim, but I know for my job, the amount of inquiries I just cannot handle. I don't know if people realize, hey, something's wrong with CBS. Yeah, that's not my department. Hey, I want to be booked on your show. Yeah, that's not my purview. You know, the amount of things that, you know, everybody feels like falls under the umbrella of Melissa in the Morning on WICC actually mostly doesn't actually fall under my purview. So I was laughing at that because it's so true. With anything in life, we think, oh, Metro North, you're in charge. And that's just this big umbrella. And it's like, yeah, actually, there's a lot of other players. So I appreciate you diving into this and welcome back to the show.
Absolutely. Good to be with you again.
What made you, first of all, want to highlight this? Because I'd imagine, you know, you get obviously inquiries from Connecticut commuters all the time. But what made you want to talk about this? Is this a common issue that people don't even realize? Maybe they're voicing their opinions or frustrations, concerns, what have you, to the wrong entities?
Well, at CT Mirror, we like to do a lot of stories we call explainers. And there's nothing more mysterious, as you hinted at, than taking the train and wondering who's in charge here. So this is a question I've been answering for over 20 years. And,
so you know it inside and out.
Let's say you want to take the train. So you drive to the train station and you park. Who's responsible for the parking? Well, it's usually the town. Even though the land and the parking lot is owned by the Department of Transportation, so you got to deal with the parking issues, pay for the parking, whatever it might be. And it's different from town to town as well, too. That's another story altogether. But then you get on the platform. And the platform is the station is probably owned by the DOT, but it is maintained by the local authority, the town or the city. And then you hop on the train, and now you're in Metro North territory. So Metro North's responsible for running our trains and setting the fares along with the DOT. But if you've got a problem somewhere along the way, you know, you're not quite sure who to call or who to respond to. So years ago, when I was on the Commuter Council, I suggested that at every train station there be a sign, a simple sign there saying, okay, welcome to the XYZ station. Parking is administered by the town of XYZ. Here's a phone number to call if you have a problem. You got a question about the schedules? Well, here, call Metro North at this number. Or you got a complaint about the maintenance of the station? Here's who it is you got to call as well, too. So many different overlapping authorities, and yet we assume that Metro North, which is not even a Connecticut agency, it's a New York agency, we think Metro North's responsible for everything, and they're not. So, you know, you got to share the blame and the responsibility along the way.
So what you're saying, Jim Cameron, is if I have any issues regarding trains at all, from the parking all the way to the experience, I'm just going to call you. That's what I'm going to do.
No, please.
I'm just going to... Just kidding. Poor Jimmy's like, wait, no, I'm never coming back on your show again. No, I'm joking. But it is fascinating,
though. 203, no.
It's 203, get a life. Because to me, I do think that's really fascinating, though, because at first I was thinking, well, why don't we just put it under one entity? So to me, it kind of logically makes sense that you put it under the Connecticut Department of Transportation. They've got their hands in basically everything. They're connected to Metro North. They're connected to the municipalities, the state, what have you. But you're right. There are so many different, I would say, you know, to me, if you go to the DOT about a parking thing, they're just going to be like, okay, but we got 169 municipalities and we're not in charge of where you're parking and what. So it makes sense that it would be the town, right? So I think the logical question of, well, why doesn't this fall under one person? You kind of just answered it. I think there's too many different variables that one entity really wouldn't do the job effectively enough, honestly.
Well, and the DOT is busy with a lot of different things aside from your problems getting a parking space at
exactly.
your local train station. They've got highways, they've got bridges, they got a lot of stuff. Good luck getting an answer from the DOT for any question you might have. They'll probably just say, oh, go look at the website. And that doesn't really solve your problems if you just got a ticket and you're trying to do the right thing, okay? I mean, I'm talking to your listeners right now that are stuck in traffic, okay? You know, if you want to try taking the train, it shouldn't be this difficult to figure out who's responsible for what.
Right. Now, here's what's interesting. And again, we're talking to Jim Cameron, who is the author of the weekly column Talking Transportation in Connecticut Mirror. Jim, this was interesting, the railroad tracks, because I can understand, again, not putting everything under one entity. Well said what you just said about the DOT and everything they've got to handle. But like the railroad tracks, in your article, you highlight the fact that from the stretch from Greenwich to New Haven, which again is the largest section of the Northeast Corridor, it is not owned by Amtrak, which gives us more control of our trains. Great. However, Amtrak does own the tracks north of New Haven into Massachusetts. Why? That's so confusing to me.
Well, it's because they built that railroad. Those are their tracks, and they maintain them. They're responsible for them. Also, Shoreline East, which is the line that runs from New Haven east to New London.
Right.
That's owned by Amtrak as well, too.
Interesting.
So there's the DOT works with Amtrak to try to make sure that our commuter trains are properly scheduled. But Amtrak's looking out for their interest as well, too. Their big priority is those fat cats that are riding Acela from New York to Boston. And they don't want to have those people be held up by a late train on Shoreline East that's stuck in Guilford or someplace like that. So the good news is that because the state owns the railroad tracks from Greenwich to New Haven, those are our tracks. We can prioritize our commuter trains and tell Amtrak, just squeeze in. Oh, by the way, Amtrak, you're going to pay us for riding on our tracks as well, too.
Right. That's what I mean. It's almost I don't want to say it's a bummer, but I would say from a state's point of view, it's sort of a bummer that something wasn't negotiated for the rest of the state. I mean, I think that's a huge portion that is owned by Amtrak. Now, again, I would argue that stretch, that corridor from Greenwich to New Haven is probably the busiest, not just in our state, but one of the busiest in the country. So I get it, but it is interesting though, that we just sort of, it's like, we really don't have control over really any of the other lines, but that stretch from Greenwich to New Haven, that's state owned. So it's fascinating.
That's ours. Yeah. That's an inheritance of the old days when Conrail was running it, and Conrail went bankrupt after it took over from the New Haven Railroad. And the state was pretty smart back, 20 years ago, 25 years ago. To say, okay, we'll own those tracks, we'll be responsible for them. Oh, even though they own the tracks, Condot doesn't repair the tracks. They hire Metro North to repair the tracks. So Metro North is repairing our tracks so that their trains can run on our tracks from train stations where the parking lots are owned by the DOT but controlled by the towns. Are you confused yet?
I mean, listen.
Commuters are always
I was never a mathematician. I never sat here and lied to people and told anyone I was anything better than a C student in math. So, yes, you've confused me. But I want to say, I'm going to make an educated guess and say you've probably confused many people listening right now, but not in a bad way. Just because I don't think people, again, realize how complicated. It's never as simple as I'm just going to call this one number, this one entity, and that's going to solve all my train-related issues. I think it speaks to a much bigger story, right? I know. I wish that magic number. In his most recent column in the Connecticut Mirror Talking Transportation, Jim Cameron is with us talking about entities that handle really all train-related matters in our state, from parking to the tracks to the train cars and so much more. Let's just say it's very complicated. Who's in charge of what? So Jim is here. And, Jim, we were just talking before the break about the train tracks and sort of who's in charge of what. Your article kind of highlights the same sort of complication when it comes to the train cars as well.
Yeah. Those cars that we see on the main line, the ones with the red stripe down the side,
mm-hmm.
half of those are owned by the state of Connecticut, and half of them are owned by MTA, the Metro North folks. Now, so when you get on the train, you don't really care who owns the car as long as the ticket's collected and, you're on your way and the train's going to be on time. But because it's a bi-state, two-state railroad, Metro North can't own all the cars. DOT has to own some of them as well, too. But they're all maintained by Metro North. On Shoreline East and the Hartford line, the Connecticut Department of Transportation owns the cars, except some of them which are running with Amtrak equipment. So again, more confusion as to, you know, whose railroad is this? The train pulls in. Is this the train to Boston, or is this the train that, you know, will take me to New Haven?
Yeah. Well, and I think to your point there, Jim, which is something we talked about the last time you came on the show, that's why I feel like it's been so confusing when we talk about the ticket changes that went into effect this year, or when we talk about price hikes, and there's such a confusion there. I mean, just the idea of Metro North being really a New York entity, but we heavily use it, obviously, here in Connecticut. I think that kind of causes confusion. Do you mind sort of reiterating for people the new rules that just went into effect, and the fact that as far as fares are concerned for Connecticut prices, the DOT sets those, and we are not seeing a price hike, at least not yet?
Well, I'm so glad you asked this question, because the new ticket rules that went into effect on Sunday, first time the commuters, you know, experienced that was probably on Monday. And I've received any number of complaints from people that got on the train. Their cell phone had died. They had to plug it in on the train. And the conductor comes around asking for your ticket, and you don't have it ready. Well, you're going to have to pay a fine for doing that. Tickets have to be activated before you get on the train, because if that ticket's not ready when the conductor comes around, they're going to whack you with a fare. I had an elected official contact me last night. He said, I just had to pay a fine for using my ticket because my cell phone was dead on the train. What's going on? I said, well, you clearly missed my article 3 weeks ago when I explained all this.
Oh, my God.
He
gosh.
Was PO'd, I can tell you.
Yeah,
and he
sure.
said, how long is this going to go on? I said, well, it's probably going to go on until they change the rules, and I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. So, yeah, the fares in Connecticut did not go up like they did in New York, but this new ticket rule is confusing people, and it's really making them angry about, why are you changing this rule? Why are you not trusting me to have, you know, a cell phone that works, even though there's no signal on the platform in Grand Central when I get on? Again, it's just another reason to say, to hell with this, I'm going to drive. And
right.
we're not supposed to be looking for reasons to give people like that to stop driving. You know, they should be taking the train. It should be convenient. It should be on time, and it should be affordable.
Who made the new rules, Jim? Because it's interesting. I have a comment on that. Who made the new rules? Was it Metro North?
No. Yeah. Metro North made these new rules, along with greater enforcement of fare collection on the subways and the buses in New York City. This is an attempt for them to make sure they get their pound of flesh, so to speak.
And you're not going to get a free ride. So, you know, I get that, Jim. And, you know, I was thinking about this because the last conversation you and I had about this, I was like, oh, there's nothing better than when they don't collect my ticket. And you're like, well, that's theft. You know, obviously in a joking way. But I was thinking about this because I took the train to New York actually during the December month. And it was lovely. But I was thinking about our conversation. And one of the things I was wondering, and obviously this would cost money, so I can imagine this, but I you know, when you get on the train, if the worry is that you're not going to have your ticket collected and you're essentially stealing, that's what you're doing, even though you don't mean to, and if they don't collect it, it's not your fault, but, you know, you're stealing, why there isn't some kind of either scanner, you know, like when you go onto the subway, for example, you got to scan a ticket to get onto the subway, or there's, you know, for anything, you got to scan. And I'm wondering why we don't do that. But my second point is to the lawmaker asking you, when is this going to change? I wonder if you're going to hear from the DOT in Connecticut, or even the governor, who have been pushing so heavily for people to use mass transit, because this is, to me, a turnoff. There's a lot that came with this new rule. There's the you can't use your tickets after 24 hours. It's dead, which I'm like, what? I like buying my tickets ahead of time. That's a huge problem. There were a lot of you can't do round trip tickets. It's like you can only do one way. I mean, there's a lot of changes that came and I think are going to upset a lot of Connecticut commuters. And I wonder if the DOT and or the governor are going to push back and Metro North will change their tune on it. I don't know.
Well, it's probably too late to do that, but this is a Metro North rule that had to be approved by the DOT. So like the fares, these new rules, this has to be approved by the DOT in Connecticut as well, too. So I'm sure they looked at this. Maybe they didn't realize there was going to be anger and confusion on the part of commuters, but that's certainly been the experience. I don't think they're going to find a way of rescinding that rule and going back to the old one.
Maybe not this year. Maybe not this year, but maybe next year.
Maybe. But we're not going to get to the point where you have to go through a turnstile, like on the subway, when you step on the platform at the train station. That's an impossible way of trying to, you know, collect fares. So that's why they do it on the train itself.
But like, what? And again, I don't want to put conductors out of a job. But like, what about like when you get on a bus, you got to show them that. I mean, obviously, you put your you scan your bus card or whatever, or you put money in, like something like that. And again, I don't want to get rid of conductors, but I am wondering, like, if the issue is that they're losing a bunch of money and people start getting mad about it to the point that it's like, hey, maybe this rule doesn't work. I do wonder if they're going to come up with a different solution. Again, you should get your money. I agree with that, but I don't know if this was the way to do it. I don't know.
Well, in the city, what they're also doing to enforce, collection of fares is they've got random inspectors that are going on the buses and the subways, and they're challenging people saying, okay, you had to scan your ticket when you went through that new turnstile, and show me your phone. Show me your phone, because that'll tell me you paid your fare. And if you can't prove that you paid the fare to get on that subway or bus, they're going to hit you with an immediate ticket. So they're doing everything they can. They lost hundreds of millions of dollars in uncollected fares on the buses and the subways.
Oh, I believe it.
Much less on Metro North, because there's a longer train ride. There's more time for the conductors to, as you say, do their job, going around, collecting all the fares. New people get on at different stations. Make sure you get those tickets. Use those little stubs, those little punch things that they put on the back of the seat to say, yeah, you paid your fare already. But the MTA, Metro North, they have to do everything they can to make sure that the fares are collected, because the deficit, I mean, the loss of money from uncollected fares,
was substantial.
Especially on the subways and buses in New York, huge, huge numbers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Talking Transportation by Jim Cameron in CT Mirror. We're going to link his article as well to his podcast on our website, voiceofct.com. Jim, I always appreciate talking transportation with you. Thank you so much for your time.